You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Welcome to episode 66 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. The Red Sox got swept by the Blue Jays and finished the year 3-16 against Toronto. How you doing, Joey?
You know, I'm doing great. The numbers look worse than what actually happened, because if you watch those games, you know they could have gone
tight.
Either way. They could have gone either way.
Yeah.
It was a coin flip after coin flip after coin flip. So yeah, on paper, is it 3-16? Yes. Could it have been 4-15? Sure. You know?
It's like the Pats game, Pats Packers. Like, that could have gone either way. Every single Sox Jays game was so close. That's what we're gonna look back at this and be like, I don't understand how they finished 3-16, because the run differential and all that was so close.
I think there is a award nominee we forgot to add, and that is what you're going to remember this year by. What is going to stand out the most when you look back at 2022? I think for me, 5, 6, 38 years from now, I'm going to be like, oh, 2022, that's the year that we were neck and neck with the Blue Jays.
Yes.
Yeah, that we like, that was, oh man. Like, they would get one and then we would get one. It's, you know.
It was like they were marketing this just like the Judge thing. You know, the home run race. They were like, we got this home run race going on. We also have the clash of the AL East Titans, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. And
yeah,
who knows what's gonna happen in this season series, but you better tune in today to check out. They were doing live cut-ins for like Chang at bats. It was nuts.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wanted to see, are they going to end 3-16 or 4-15? Who's going to get the final piece of this season long showdown?
Crazy puzzle. This has just been nuts. What's going on?
It's honestly, it's a little bit of a bummer that the season didn't end with this series.
I know.
You know, rather than the Rays one.
MLB did it wrong. You got to figure it out with the scheduling. Isn't it a couple of older folks that just make the schedule? Isn't that a thing?
It's a couple, right? Like, it's like,
yeah,
a
it's like a couple that just like puts it together in like their cottage, I think. I'm pretty sure that's not a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they actually do.
I'm pretty sure that's still the case, man. Which is strange, because there's got to be a computer that can do it for so much cheaper and so quicker.
That's also the first fact we've said in this episode. The Blue Jays outscored the Red Sox. Do you know what the number is?
20 to whatever they got today, too.
What? Oh, I'm talking on the season.
Oh, I thought you meant this.
Do you know
series.
What the run differential is? The updated run differential.
Updated run differential. Is it in the 30s?
Oh, it's way higher than the 30s.
In the 50s?
The Jays outscored the Sox 125-55, plus 70.
70.
Plus 7-0.
Obviously, the 28 run game was going to weigh it a little bit, but
still, I mean,
you
take that out of it. It's still what? What was that game? 25-8. Was that the final score there? Or was it 25-3? What was the actual score?
I thought it was 28. I thought they said 30.
Yeah, it was 28. It was 28, wasn't it? Maz has me all screwed up because he said like eight versions of it during the broadcast.
I think it's 28.5.
That sounds right. Yeah. So plus 20. That's what it. It's plus 23. That's why I thought it was 23. So they were. You take that out though, and they're still plus 47 on the year. It's not like, oh, well, once you take that one game out, then it's not embarrassing. No, that's still really embarrassing. Like, if you play 19 games against a team, and this is a team you finished ahead of last year, and your roster's not that much different this year, yeah, the Blue Jays added some pieces. You went from, I think they were around, they probably finished around 500 against the Jays last year. I don't think it was, sure. I think it actually was pretty neck and neck last season. And you then go 3-16 against that team the next season. That's just, there's a certain level. I'm just going to jump right to it, Joey. This was going to be a little further down on the topics. There was a Red Sox stats tweet that I just thought was so perfect. It's like sometimes we try to come up with our opinions on here and some takes and all that. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap when you see one that just sums it up better than you could ever say. And so this was Red Sox stats, I believe, on Saturday. A lot went wrong this year. The roster was never right. There were mass injuries. Everything just kind of sucked. But it's hard to let that excuse the players from allowing Yankees, Rays, and Toronto to just bash their effing teeth in repeatedly all year long. A real pathetic display. It's exactly what it is. It's like, yeah, we get it. There were some injuries. Things never went right, blah, blah, blah. You got embarrassed by the Blue Jays this year to pathetic lengths. I mean, even this weekend, and I understand you're out of it. You guys have been out of it for a while. I get that. But, Joey, you take a pee break. You go to pick up food. You do some laundry, and you miss like three Jays homers. It is just embarrassing is the word. It is embarrassing the level of beatdown that the Jays put on the Red Sox this year. I've never seen anything like it, and for our sakes, we better not see anything like it again because that was just beyond pathetic.
And it's like a roster-deep owning. You know what I mean? Like it's like there are so many guys you can be. Obviously, like Teoscar Hernandez is like addicted to home runs against the Sox. Kevin
and
Gossman.
No cheapies either. They are deep.
Kevin Gossman has your number like you wouldn't believe. I think Bo Bichette hits like 100 points above his league average when he's against you. It's just down the whole list, they love playing you. That sucks. It's amazing how much, in general, we missed the mark this year on the season expectations. But that, looking at them next to the Blue Jays, I think is the biggest... You can notice the gap the most, you know, because this was at the beginning of the year supposed to be the Blue Jays, us and the Yankees, right? And then I guess the Rays too. It was a 14 powerhouse division.
It was essentially supposed to be it's still the deepest division. You know, the Orioles are going to finish with a winning record. So you still have the deepest division in baseball. I think if you add up all the wins, this is the most wins of any division. But
it was originally supposed to be like neck and neck.
Maybe a four-team race, yeah.
Yeah, and to see the gap it's glaringly obvious, dude. It's bad when you see those two teams on the same diamond. It's like, these guys are not comparable clubs.
Yeah, not at all. No. I think with Carl Ravage said it at the start of the season, and it stuck out with me. Once the lockout was lifted, I was listening to any and watching any baseball content, all this preview stuff. Obviously, you and I were getting going. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to soak it all up. I'm like, I'm just so happy we're back. I will listen and watch literally anything. Mm-hmm. And Ravage, I think, was on with Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast. And he was saying they were previewing the AL East. And they're like, obviously, the Red Sox, you know, overachieved a little bit, getting two wins away from the World Series, but they should still have good club. The Rays are the Rays, the Yankees are the Yankees in terms of, you know, always being up there for winning the division. And the Jays are projected by a lot to make the World Series. But the thing that stuck out to me was he's like, I can guarantee you, though, Buster, one of these teams is going to be a big letdown. And I had this weird, like, we had a lot of momentum going into this season. And we're down there at spring training. you know, interviewing Cora and talking to the guys and just like getting into the vibes. And it
You're
was
saying
just
something
a lot of,
had to even it out.
It was not to that degree, but it was more just like we're still kind of riding the high of getting two wins away from the World Series. It was a lot of promising talks. And I remember, you know, being on that, you know, shout out to Kellen having me on this, like it was for the Red Sox YouTube and they played it on NESN, being a part of this, you know, season preview thing. And I was so gassed up to be in that and see that. And then when Ravage said that, it was just kind of like a stun, like right to the, like a little punch off the nose. We're like, whoa, it was like, wait a second. I let it seep into my brain. I was like, could that be the Red Sox? Could the Red Sox be that team that's like a mega letdown in the division? No. Come on. Sox are going to ride that. You know, they're going to be great. They were two wins away from the World Series. The team's not that different. They don't have Schwarber or Renfro. I don't know. I think they'll be fine.
And then the middle of July, you're trying to lay in bed, trying to fall asleep, and you're just hearing, one of these teams is going to be a letdown. And it all hits you. You said, oh, no. I think I'm living the letdown. It's happening right in front of me. Yeah.
And
I mean, it makes sense. They weren't going to be 400 win teams in the division. They felt like
Imagine, though,
the beginning.
They just literally win all their games against every other, you know, every non-AL East opponent. But as is, you look at the AL East, you got the Yankees with 97 wins, the Jays at 90 now, Rays 86, the Orioles with 82, which is like, I still can't believe that. And the Red Sox are 75 and 84. So
there's seven games back of the Orioles.
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably going to finish right around there, maybe worse. Who do the Orioles close with? Not like this matters at all, but the O's just beat the Yankees on Sunday. They host the Jays to end the season. Jays still trying to lock up that top wild card spot in the bye. At least through the wild card round. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just can't believe it went the way it went. This is – you were at a wedding this weekend. How much did you watch the games?
Oh, man, tons. No, I'll be totally honest with you, dude. I planned on watching the first game on Friday because, you know, that's kind of like settle-in day. At the wedding, you know, everybody's arriving there and getting to their place and maybe you grab dinner together. But, like, it was going to be a pretty relaxed night. And then the first time I checked my phone, it was 3-0. Then I got a notification it was 5. Then I got a notification it was 8. And I was like, you know, I'm not turning it on. I'm not doing it. I'm having a good time tonight, so I'd like to keep that going.
Just can't do it. I was saying the Jays wouldn't get a bye. The Jays would they'd be the top. They would host. So they would likely host the Mariners as it is right now, I believe. And
no, the Mariners are playing the Guardians, right?
No, because I think the Rays are the last seed right now.
Oh, they are.
I mean, it's been tight. The Rays and the Mariners have been trading that spot off. They've basically been going back and forth. So as of right now, the Mariners are a game and a half up on the Rays. The Jays have now, after that series against the Sox, they've all but clinched the top wildcard spot. So they're going to host either the Mariners or the Rays. And we'll see how that goes. But in terms of the Red Sox, Michael Wacha made his last start of the season. It was not a fun one at all. 4 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 3 home runs given up. He finishes the year 11-2. I know records don't matter to many people. I still think 11-2, hey, it's impressive. He gave the Sox a chance to win when he was out there frequently. It's just unfortunate. It sucks when you close the season like this. It really sucks when you end with two starts like he had here. His last two, obviously today I mentioned the numbers. Joey is having a sneeze attack right now.
I'm having a tough
epic
time.
Epic proportions. Yeah. But yeah, at Toronto, mentioned what the stats were today. 5 earned and 4. Hosted the Orioles at the end of September. And it was 6 earned through 3 1/3. Just not great, Joey. Just not ideal. It was funny. Going into that start against the Orioles, he had a 2.70 ERA. I was already doing all these, prepping all these notes for our next episode. looking up, oh, how many guys in the American League have a sub 2.7 over like 120 innings? Because that's what people always talk about, sub 2.7
right, right.
over 120 innings.
Over 120, right.
Yeah, it's a classic. And sure enough, there was only like six other guys. It was like Shohei, Nestor Cortez, who else? Like Cole, or I forget the exact list, but it was just a bunch of like studs. And then immediately he just got rocked. I looked up, he was just giving up bombs. He gave up three homers in that game and three homers on Sunday against the Blue Jays. He had not given up three home runs in a game all season. He gives up three in both of his last two games. So unfortunate. And I know a lot of the Fort Borbzorb people are not huge fans of Michael Wacha, if you look at the advanced analytics. But if I'm watching a starter that I, you know, see on the mound and I think gives you a genuine chance to win ball games every single time he's out there, it's Michael Wacha. And there's no chance. I like to grade a guy based on what did we think we were getting and what did we get. When they signed Wacha, I think a lot of people were making jokes about it. I think a lot of people were chirping Heim and like, oh, great. Can't wait for Michael Wacha to win the Cy Young. And there was a brief period there where I'm like,
is he among the top couple?
I'm like, is he going to get some Cy Young votes maybe? But no, I mean, it's credit to Wacha. He kept them in a lot of games. He gave them a lot of chances to win when he was out there. It's just unfortunate that it ended the way that it ended on Sunday.
Yeah. It sucks, man. He deserved to have a 2 in his season ERA.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I know everyone's looking at FIP and all these other things, but ERA matters, especially now that he's going to be a free agent. If you could have finished with 23 starts and a sub 3, I mean, that's genuinely insane. And, you know, credit to him. He gave up 3 earned or fewer in 78% of his starts. Averaged 6 innings a start. I care a lot about seeing how many earned runs a guy gives up per outing. 2 earned runs per outing. And it felt like it. It felt like it.
Yeah.
Every time he was out there, you had a chance to win. Saw this from our guy Ian Brown, downtown Ian Brown. And Michael Wacha starts the season. Red Sox were 16-7 in starts by anyone else. They were 59-76. Kind of sums it up.
Wow. I'm wondering what it is that the nerds don't like about Wacha. Do you know? You heard from these nerds?
Have you heard from these nerds? Have they told you specifically what they don't like? I mean, I've never been... This is something that I've been open about. I'm acting like I'm about to talk about something really serious. about my serious problems. No, I've been open about the fact that I'm not the Fort Borbzorb guy. I'm not the advanced analytics guy. It's more Red Sox stats. That was always other people and not myself. Mm. And I think what a lot of people are alluding to is if you dive a little deeper in the numbers, he probably should have gotten more rocked than he did, given up more runs than he did. You look at his Baseball Savant page, it's pretty cold. It's pretty cold over there. There's a lot of blue. So I understand if you're going to start diving into that, feel the way you want to feel. It's never how I've really graded a pitcher. I'm normally grading these guys on, like, do I think, which is the whole point of the game, my team is going to win when he's on the mound. When he was, I thought they were going to win. And I felt that with nobody else in the entire rotation, the entire season. So that is something that you got to give Michael Wacha.
Any kind of the should have aspect is weird. It's like, I get the idea that, like, hey, he's throwing hittable stuff and guys should be hitting him. But there's a reason that they're not consistently, you know. You can get away with one or two, you know, hanging pitches. It's like, hey, you know, he's been leaving his curveball out over the middle of the plate his last, you know, 2 starts. But you can't do that for a season and have it not get touched. And the logical conclusion be, well, these Major League Baseball players should have hit it. Like, well, there's obviously a reason they didn't. You know what I mean?
They got lucky because of the monster. Like, I don't know. I just use all the advanced analytics you want. Like, I'm always going to be more of the, do I think this guy leads to wins? Do I think this guy leads to you having a better record than the other team in your division that you need to have? And Wacha is one of those guys. Now, it's unfortunate because I genuinely think that was probably the last start he's going to make as a member of the Red Sox, which sucks. I think he's going to get an offer from somebody, and then we'll see it, and we'll all have those tweets of like, hey, good for Waka. You know, he deserved it, put his everything out there this year and had one of the best seasons of his career. There you go. Like, get your money, get paid, yada, yada, all of that. I think he's entering his age 32 season coming up here, and, you know, you see what he did this season. It's put him in a really, really good position to get paid. And the last two starts weren't great, but that's easy to chalk up to like, hey, you know, a little worn down, out of the race. I feel like that's easy to kind of look past, but especially against the Jays, man.
When your rotation is going to be as thin as it's going to be next year, and like you said, there's been one trustful arm all year. Trustful, is that a word?
Trustable? Yeah, we can use it. Count it.
Sure. There's been one trustful arm all year. Why would you not make at least a valiant effort to try to get him back?
I could see them making an effort. I'm just more concerned someone else is going to be willing to pay him more than the Red Sox are, and more years.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it just seems like why you need a lot of arms. So why go for more unknown than you need to when you have somebody here who's worked well here, who's found some success here? Let's keep him here.
All right, Michael Walker's coming back. From Joey, you're in charge of the finances. We confirmed that last episode that you're
in charge of the finances. Yes, but that's just the dollars. It's not the people. I don't know who I'm giving it to. I just know the numbers.
You just give out numbers. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell
him. Are you doing all right, Joey? I feel like you're struggling right now. Are you doing all right?
No,
you
just I'm struggling. Like 20 sneezes. I feel terrible. Okay. I feel terrible. Okay. Lots going on. Just. <I'm>, getting sick as we go here.
There's a lot going on, man. I don't know what to say.
My cat definitely like pissed on this rug. So I'm in like a hot box of cat urine while I'm like sneezing. It's not great. It's not great. Okay. But hey, at least at the end of the day, we get to talk about the Red Sox, you know?
That is true. That so brings it back. All back around. Yeah. That is definitely good. So you're allergic to cat piss. That's what we've learned tonight.
I'm allergic to something. I need to go. There's doctors for it. You can go and like get a test and they'll tell you like, hey man, you're allergic to you know, dandelions. But
all right,
alas, I keep foregoing it. I think it's cat piss though, if I had to guess.
That's a good guess. But Shout out to Michael Waka. Good season. Tough close to the season, but hey, when you found out it was a Waka night, it was great when you kind of forgot who was pitching, which if you're a Sox fan, happened a lot of times this year because TBD
most times
pitched half the games. So it was like, who do we got tonight? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. When you found out it was a Waka night, you're like, okay, we have a responsible dad on the mound that could potentially lead this team to a victory. I'm excited. There were very few guys that would take the bump that you felt that way. You felt that way with Michael Waka. Thank you, Michael Waka, if this is it.
And you also felt like, I don't know, I did anyway. When I saw that Waka was on the mound, it was like, guys, runs tonight. Like, we're not, like, we cannot waste tonight. Make the most
runs
of tonight, please.
Men.
Runs tonight. And then, yeah, to see the lineup be, I don't want to call names. I don't see the lineup be a bunch of bums. But sometimes you see a lineup and you're like, oh, fun. Who are we watching today? Nice.
Who knows? Something about Cora, I just pictured Cora just being like saying what you just said. Guys, runs.
Remember, hit the ball, score runs. Runs on the board, please.
Runs, guys, yes. Runs.
Yes, Alex, they all say.
That's what they all do.
Yeah.
It was another guy's final start of the season. Another letdown of a final start on the season. Brian Bayo. 4 innings pitched, 10 hits, 4 earned, 4 Ks, finishes with a 4.71 ERA. Forget what the exact number is. His last like 6 starts, he's in the low to mid 2s ERA-wise. Had a great September. One of the best Septembers in Red Sox pitching rookie history. So props for that. What are your thoughts on Bayo? So what's your – leaving his rookie season, how are you feeling heading into next year?
I still believe after next year he'll be either year one or two going into 2024. I don't know. I think this one I'm willing to just pretend didn't happen because I didn't see it.
You know, I've been doing that for years where it's like, if I didn't watch, those runs don't count.
That doesn't really count. Yeah, I mean, all of his numbers for, it wasn't the second half. I don't remember exactly what the cutoff was, but it was like, after this one bad start, he was like, he had a 1-1, and he had whatever. His numbers were nuts. I'm putting the stamp on it before this past outing, you know?
Yeah.
Calling it a season. This one didn't even happen.
Yeah, it ended in September, and it was a great September. That's all you needed. It's done. But finished. I'm trying to find his September. Numbers? Yeah, I'm checking the September numbers.
I think it was like a 1-6.
September, Brian Bayo, 5 starts, 1.65 ERA, opponent batting average, a little higher than I thought, 2.43. It's not like that's great, but I thought it would have been like 2. Yeah, pretty good all around, man. I just love his stuff just dances. It was tough. One of my biggest takeaways from Saturday's game, from Bayo's last start, yes, there's weak contact, and I know our guy Red Sox Stats tweets about this a lot. Like, you got to be kidding me. And then puts like a montage together of the hits Bayo gives up. I don't think it's any coincidence that a guy that has filthy movement like Brian Bayo has is gonna get some weak contact. You're not gonna hit him clean, hit it flush every time when the ball's dipping and diving all over the place. And when you're trying to guess fastball, you get the changeup. You know, you're gonna be uncomfy. Brian Bayo makes a lot of guys uncomfy in the box, and that's gonna result in some dinkers. And it did. It did on Saturday, more than usual. You see him kind of smiling, laughing, and it's like, if I'm Cora, I'm like, hey, if anything, it's because your stuff is filthy. It's not like, don't think that it's like, oh, poor me, like another starter, yada, yada. I know Barnsey does the head tilt thing. The one characteristic in pitchers I can't do is the I'm getting screwed thing. Buckle up. It's going to happen. Yeah, the head shaking and all that.
The loose
neck. It's going to happen.
Ugh.
It happens. There's going to be weak contact. There's going to be bloopers. There's going to be stuff that drops in that shouldn't, that lands on the chalk, and it's like, you got to bear down. And there were a lot of times this year that you'd look up, and it would be first and second with no outs, and Bayo's on the mound having to get out of another jam. And I think that's something that he's going to have to figure out as he goes along in his career here. Understanding, A, weak contact's going to happen. Over the course of a season, I don't think as many are going to drop in as did this year. I think it was a little funky, the amount that dropped in this season. But it's part of it, dude. That's part of how it goes. Get rid of the I'm getting screwed mentality of like, oh, poor me. You're a dog out there. Be a dog and bear down and get out of it. To his credit, a lot of times he does. But 10 hits is 10 hits. I mean, you can give up some cheap contact, but, you know, that's a lot. And, I say that to say it's the Blue Jays. Like, this lineup's ridiculous. So it's not like it's some sin to give up 4 or 5 runs to the Jays. That's just that over the course of a year, it's going to happen. But I just want him to build that extra. He's going to have to work on a lot of little things. I'm very impressed overall for how young he is at 23, that he has that swagger and he's got that, like, expectation that he's going to be great every time he goes out there. But, you know, I the poor me thing, there's no space for it at the MLB level. No one's going to care about that. You're going to have to buckle down and figure your way out of some tough situations.
How did he look once he started to get hit? Did it look like it was getting to him again?
Yeah, it's, on Saturday, he was like, covering his mouth, like chuckling, and like, you know, it was a lot of you could kind of tell it's wearing on him. He gets antsy up there. He gets antsy on the mound, more guys out, and it's just like, ugh, you know, he just looks uncomfortable at times, but he's the kind of, it's like a football team playing from ahead that's just built to just pound you, run down your throat. That's Bayo. When Bayo's ahead of you, he's got two out, like, when he's up there by himself on the mound and no one's on base, this guy is scary. And I think makes a lot of guys expect when they're going up there that it's going to be tough to get on base. But Saturday, you know, Jays were getting on a lot, and you could tell it was getting to him. So that's something he's going to have to work for next season. But it's just nice to have a guy like Bayo in the mix, and promise is great, of course, and that's something that can kill you and that can also surprise you. Next season, he could end up being the second best pitcher you have. Hell, he could be the best pitcher you have. I mean, I don't think it's too crazy to say that, which is kind of more of a reflection on the state of the rotation. But yeah, I was impressed overall this year by Brian Bayo, and I'm excited for next season.
Yeah, Not the start we might have wanted to the Bayo era, all things considered.
But not the one you didn't want.
But not the one you didn't not want.
You didn't not maybe want, miss wanted this.
No one didn't not want this, you know?
They wanted this and didn't not got it when they had it.
They had us in the first half.
Not going to lie.
Not going to lie.
We got plenty more to break down. Episode 66 of Inside the Monster, the last road series recap of the year. We will be back after this break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are back on episode 66 of Inside the Monster. Joey, it doesn't work out much better than this, huh?
No, I mean, we're just talking about him. And now
just talking
we
about
can
him.
Say that it's the Bobby Pointer episode.
It is the Noe Ramirez episode. We were just talking about him. No, we were just talking about Brian Bayo, and he is number 66. So how about that? The Brian Bayo episode. Yeah, clap it up, man.
Nice job. 66. Not an easy one to get.
He doesn't speak English, right? I wonder if he's going to learn English. That would be cool so we could have him on. I mean, I know Spanish so well, so we could just have him on and just speak some Spanish.
Right. I was going to ask.
Be like, hola, Brian.
That'd be funny. Yeah, we tell him we can speak Spanish. He shows up on the call. We say, hola, Brian. And then we just kind of look at each other for a little bit.
Go yeah. ahead. And then, got adios, nothing. Brian.
Adios, Brian. Gracias, Brian.
Gracias, Brian. Me gusta hamburguesos, Brian.
El libro es rojo.
Me encantó baseball, Brian.
Gracias, Brian. Thank you very much, man.
We're just telling them stuff we like. Like, this is not an interview.
Yeah, donde está la biblioteca, dude? Applying, Brian. Like, Spanish 1, Brian. Brian.
Necesita el baño, Brian.
So funny. All the stuff you learn in, like, Spanish 1 or, like, on Duolingo, it's, like, never stuff you'd use. Never just be like, my sister is very tall.
I'm not like asking someone in my own apartment that if I can use the bathroom. Like, yeah. just use it, dude.
I like ham. That's great. Nice.
The idea of just saying it while you're sitting down, too. Like, all right, dude. Like, the game's on. I like cheeseburgers. Right. Okay, man.
That's great. Are you a 5-year-old? Why are you just telling me that?
Just blurting out random facts. And then the whole time, Bayo just speaks English. He's like, guys, just let me know when you want to, like, actually just ask me something.
Yeah. Get a feeling you guys don't speak Spanish. Daniel Nava.
Yes, Nava as well. Joey, we've mentioned this before, but I wanted to bring it up on here.
Yeah.
Tony Mass. I believe that was, actually, I know that that was his last series of the season. And I had tweeted something out that got quite the reaction. It really, and I knew it would. There's certain things on Twitter, like, I don't know, maybe something in late June this season that I think got way overreaction from people on Twitter, but this got the exact reaction I expected. I said, Tony Maz has plenty of haters for what he does on the radio, but he's been great in the booth this year. The Monaco Maz broadcasts are always fun to watch, even when the Sox are getting waxed. I think a lot of people agree. Everyone's very pro. I'm with the Monaco, I meant to say. Everyone's very pro Monaco. Lot of people disagree with Maz. A lot of people hate Maz. Like I knew a lot of people hate Maz. A lot of people hate Maz on the broadcast. It really surprises me. I'm not going to lie, because
why?
Joey, I know you're one of them. But here's the deal. I think one thing I will say is that, and I am a little bit of a hypocrite because I'm kind of like this too, and a lot of people are. When you have a certain opinion about somebody, a lot of times you're just not willing to change it. You've made up your mind. This is how you view somebody. You think they suck. You think they suck. It's not like they're going to, oh, I'm going to give them another shot. A lot of people don't do that. And for Maz, I think going into the season, everyone's like, oh, my God, we're going to get the radio guy Maz, and we're going to get the squeaky voice and blah, 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 and he's going to be ripping everybody to shreds, and Maz stinks. And I think a lot of people aren't being fair to just judging him based on his baseball knowledge and how he's been in the booth. I think they went in with the feeling of hating him, and they're just going to kind of stick to that. Now, I say that to say there's also a group of people that just don't like him in the booth, and that's fine. We can disagree on that. It is what it is. I think he's extremely knowledgeable with baseball. He points out the right stuff that's happening during the game. Little thing on, I think it was Saturday, where Vladdy was kind of pissed off going to first base. He noticed that. He was thinking, hey, maybe it's because they threw up and in on him. It's like, yeah, that's the right way to look at it. I just think, and it's not like I tweeted that, you know, being surprised by the reaction. Everyone's going, oh, is this serious? Is this a bit? People, like, I've been around. I've been around, Joey. I understand how people think of Tony Maz. It's not like I'm stunned that people don't like Tony Maz. Some of the replies, you'd think that I'm, like, new to this. I'm not new to this. Like, I understand how this works.
Welcome to Boston. We don't like this guy.
Yeah, oh, listen, buddy. You don't know. No, I know. I get it. I don't know. I just think some people are being a little unfair.
I would argue the exact opposite thing, dude. I would argue people really like a redemption story, you know, as long as like you're not like a villain, you know, as if, but if you're like a micro villain, like a bad guy, like Maz level, right? Just an annoyance, a rodent, right? I'm getting a little carried away. What was I saying? A real jerk.
Just the absolute worst.
Scum. Is that the word? Scum. No, but when you're just like an annoyance, I think there's room for, and people actually actively root for, like, redemption stories. People want to see the good in people. I think deep down, I think we like ripping people apart and all that. But I think there's also just this like, oh no, he's actually good. Like, look at like the whole Brendan Fraser thing that just happened. Like, people like that, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I know what that was.
And so when Maz, gets this opportunity, I really thought, like, people are going to come around on him. And then I listened, and I was like, this is not going to make me come around on him. This is him. He peacocks like nobody else.
You don't like the voice, though. You hate his voice.
Oh, I absolutely hate his voice, too. But it's the peacocking more than that. It's the look at me, ruffle my feathers, like, don't you see how smart I am? When it's like, I don't think that. I just
peacocking.
I
don't even know what that is.
He's fluffing out his feathers. He's going, look at me.
Is he?
I think there's definitely some, like, he knows how much people say he's got a great baseball mind, though. Hey, he might be annoying, but he's got a great baseball mind.
I think he leans into how much people hate him. Like, I think he's mentioned a couple times during the broadcast. Like,
it's a shtick, I know what
a lot of people. I know what a lot of people would say about my thoughts here, but I'm still gonna mention this. I don't know. I'm just.
But he says it because it's a shtick, which I also personally like really hate. The fact that it's like so clear and obvious that he's playing a character, I don't like that one bit at all. It's being disingenuous in a job where you're not by nature performing, I think is just lying to people. You can't say, oh, I'm playing a shtick. No, you're lying, because there's no understanding between you and your audience that there's like a level of performance. Like, if I watched The Matrix right now, I would be like, oh, Keanu Reeves is obviously acting. I understand that. But to listen to sports radio, you don't assume this person is acting. That's just lying. And I think that's what he does. I think he's a professional liar, and I think that he really pats himself on the back going like, I pull the wool over people's eyes, and they still think I'm smart. And I think he just rolls around in that.
You're a big Maz guy, is what you're saying?
Tony Maz beat the shit out of my dog. Do you need to know that? Do you need to hear that?
I just... I'm honest on here, Joey. I think we always are. We obviously have disagreed on this season. I like when he's in the booth. I think he understands what's going on. He brings up the right issues with the team, and he's always been a great baseball guy. I know he's like, I think shtick wise, it's more radio. I don't think it's in the booth. Like I don't sense a lot of shtick stuff in the booth. I think him and Monica are good. Him and Jemiah, I've talked to Jemiah about Maz. He's like, yeah, he's been great. Like he's been, you know, nothing but good reviews. And so, yeah, I get it though. See, that's the thing. I bring this up more just to address it because it got more replies than anything I've posted in a while. It's just a lot of people that are, some agree, most disagree. And when people said, oh, I think you're in the minority, dude, to a lot of those people, I replied, oh no, I know I'm in the minority here. Like, there are certain things that I'll, like, fight to the death, and I'm like, no, I'm in the majority. It's like, no, I know I'm in the minority here. Mm-hmm. But
why do you think you were so willing to jump there? Like, to make the jump from, I don't know, to accept Mass? Like, why do you think you were so willing to do that?
Because I always liked him as a baseball guy. Like, I would listen to his show.
So you always liked
up.
Him to begin with. There it is. You
as a
already
baseball
liked
guy.
Him.
As a baseball them. Guy, I didn't. I would watch Felger and Maz growing up. I wouldn't really listen. I would watch the show that they simulcast, and I would listen a lot in the car to the baseball hour that Maz did, and I would learn a lot from it. And I always thought he was good. And he's been on MLB Network. He's been covering baseball for years, and I just don't get the sense that. Anything. I don't get the sense he throws fake opinions out there about baseball. Now on radio, he absolutely feeds into like, oh my God, the sky is falling. Like if the Patriots beat the Packers, I'm sure he'd be like, this guy could be the future, Mike. Like I don't know. It's like I think they would spend hours on like, is Zappy the guy? And it's like, come on, stop. But yeah, it's not. I don't know. And we probably already talked. You know, I've probably already talked about this too much. But I just.
Well, yeah, there's so many other things we got to get to from this series.
No, it's a good point. There's literally nothing. But, like, I didn't think he was, like, a problem in the booth. I was pretty vocal about Millar and how he's just winging it up there and does, like, no prep at all and talks about who he showers with every game. But, you know, I think Eck did a good job last week of really reminding people, no, I don't just show up. Like, there's a lot of prep that goes into this. It's not just... all fun and games up here. And he made a good point of saying, like, when I'm doing the games, it's fun. Like, even Joey, like, with this show, like, we're not just, like, I do a lot of prep for this show. Like, it's not like just turning the mics on and just shooting the breeze. Like, people kind of forget that a lot of prep does go into any of the baseball stuff you're doing or, you know, any shows, any of this stuff, unless you're Kevin Millar. So I just didn't have an issue with him this year. I know a lot of people did. And at the end of the day, you know, I think we can agree on the fact that when Monaco is involved, it's a fun time.
Yeah. I would imagine next year. Ugh, you know what? I can't even say that because I don't know how the Nesson big heads think.
I just don't know. Your guess is as good as mine with who's going to be back next year because there was a lot of mix-ups going on this year. OB even admitted, like, yeah, I would like to have, you know, a more consistent booth. Mm-hmm. And... thought that was interesting for him to say publicly because he normally doesn't say anything too drastic. But I still, they're going to have to figure that out because Eck being out of the booth is a huge blow. And you can't, I just don't like the idea of having like 5-6 people cycling in. It's not,
no
broadcast really does that. You look there's around no the league, the best ones have no, two like, guys.
There's no comfort. There's no warmth. There's no like, oh, these are my
guys.
It's
like crossover from series to series, right? Where it's like, oh, like we had, you know, some funny story from Chicago. Like, well, now that's just dead because that's with Millar, and now we got Matt. You know, it's just and each series is its own thing. You want some carryover. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, let's just say this season had been OB and Uke, or OB and Eck with, like, you know, Uke here and there, right? I think by game, what are we at? 158? by game,
we are coming up on 160. Yeah,
yeah. I think by that game, by now, by last month, by you know, whenever things started to go downhill in mid July, there would have been a comfort of like, but I'm hanging out with my guys, you know. But yeah. Hey, I know that X going to be there, or Uke's going to be, and like to tune in and just be like, who is it tonight? Oh, it's changing every half inning. That's cool. Whatever. Yeah. It's like stop performing for me. I just need to like, I want some comfort here. And
I think Joey, you know, to that point, my favorite thing to hear over the years and this year too, with us starting a new show here, my favorite feedback to hear is I love the fact that regardless of what happens in a series, you guys are going to have an episode out, and I'm going to get to listen like I'm hanging out and we're just talking about the Sox. Like that is easily my favorite feedback. Is like, doesn't matter what happens, I know Steve and Joey are going to be talking about it and I'm going to tune in. Nothing makes me happier than that. Mm-hmm. And the consistency is enormous, especially over 162. It's just, you're either in it or you're not, you know, in terms of breaking down all the games. It's just not the same if you're only a character for like 30 games. It's just, no. It's weird.
I was
going to
say, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Nesson should not do that because I forgot that's like our job. Like we do that.
Yeah,
we are that
Nesson,
consistent.
Don't do that. Yeah, we so, also, we love breaking down the booth. So like we love talking about what's going on in the booth. So keep having more people in the booth. That'll be more to talk about.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like the Kardashian drama or something, you know, like people like talking about celebrity drama and gossip, but like if it all just like worked out and everything just like went smoothly, it wouldn't be like the most entertaining topic of conversation, you know? Like, did you hear about the Kardashians, dude? They went grocery shopping yesterday.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
I couldn't believe it. Dude,
yeah,
they went for
the baby
a walk.
Cats.
Yeah.
But the dogs too?
Yeah, the dogs were there too. Yeah.
Damn.
No barking.
No, they've been good. They've been good.
They've been good lately, man. Extra treats. Yeah. One thing that has not been good is Xander Bogaerts falling out of the batting title race. Yeah. I am so sad about it. And I probably shouldn't care this much about Bogey falling out of the batting title race, but it just sucks. Just add it on.
Why not?
Throw it in the pot of crap that has been going on with this team for the entire season. First half of September, Bogey was hitting .419 in that stretch, that two-week stretch. Mm-hmm. Since then, .170. .170, which is like, see, we're not asking for much in terms of staying in the race, but you can't hit .170. And this isn't a negative to Bogey. He's left it all out there this year. He's had a good last couple months overall, but this is just tough. You know, it's now Luis Arraez, as of right now, is leading the batting title race at .315. Judge has fallen to .311. Bogey's at .305. And he didn't play on Sunday. They had Chang in there. So essentially, Bogey's probably got 12 at-bats left, right around there, if he plays all three of these games. He's got 12 at-bats left and would need to go like 9 for 12 to finish the season at .314. I think .314 is probably the lowest you could get to win a batting title. He'd have to go 9 for 12. So it's basically over. Like, I wanted at least this last series for us to have the potential of like, hey, but Bogey might win the batting title, so we got that. Instead, now it's going to be maybe these are the last three games for Bogey and adios. Of course, that was always going to be a part of it, but now it's the only part of it that we're just praying that these aren't the last three games we watch Xander Bogaerts in a Red Sox uniform. Everything sucks this year.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Joe here in the field, just feeling sad now, man. The batting title race was great to focus on because, for me anyway, it put maybe this is Xander's last games on the back burner.
Yeah.
I really, really was not ready for you to say that right now. Yeah, three games. Huh?
I kind of stopped thinking about it. I'm not gonna lie. Like I agree with you. I kind of stopped thinking about these maybe being the last few weeks of Bogey's Sox career. But now I'm back there because he's out of the race.
I just wish we knew. I hate this. Like, I'm gonna feel like an idiot if I like really cherish these moments and take them in, and then like, you know, he just signs. I'm gonna be like, oh well, that was a waste. But I'm obviously also going to feel like a dope if I don't care in these last three games, and then that does turn out to be it. I'll feel like a real dope.
But you don't want to regret how you potentially sent somebody off. Like, you always want a good farewell. If it's someone moving out of town or maybe being dead, you want a good farewell to whatever the situation is. And you don't want to look back and be like, I should have cheered a little more.
I should have cheered a little more before they died. Before that person was, what did you say? You say being dead?
I'm saying like the last few days of someone, I'm comparing it to the last few days of someone's life.
Yeah, but you didn't say and dying. Like, you said someone becoming dead. Is that what you said?
I said it in a really weird, I don't know, man. They're like, this season sucks.
What's it called when someone becomes dead? Dying? That's what they call it.
Imagine that was the phrase. Yeah, they became dead.
Damn.
Did you catch that? The queen became dead.
I mean, it's not entirely wrong, but it would certainly stop a water cooler conversation.
Became dead, so dumb.
Yeah, no, I mean, just make the most of it. You should talk to Bogey.
Yeah. I mean, I might, honestly. We've just been communicating via head nods this year. I might actually say some words. We'll see. Anyways, some miscellaneous stuff, Joey, from this series. The Blue Jays made a pitching change with two outs in the ninth inning of a 10-0 game.
That's
clean
awesome.
It up.
What do you,
clean
that's
it up.
So cool.
What a joke. What a joke. I was like yelling at my TV. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, dude. And there were some Jays fans in the replies. Oh, they were trying to get him some – haven't finished the inning. You're trying to get him some pitches, some time. Don't pull him with two outs. It's not like he was hurt or anything. What are you doing? That was pathetic. I probably got more upset than I should have over that, but it's like, it's 10-0, dude. What are you? That's pathetic. I honestly would have, like, I would have plunked somebody on Sunday. I'm like, screw it, dude. I hate you guys so much. You've been beating us up, and now you're making pitching changes with two outs in the ninth up 10-0. Please. Did not like that. Nick Pivetta, I also don't like this. AL East ERA 6.72
nice.
This year. And his non AL East ERA, is 2.73. So
that's very nice.
That's sick.
Is it true he's given up exactly two bombs in every AL East start?
I'd believe it. That would be kind of impressive.
I think it's exactly two in every AL East start. He's given up two.
He's
home
consistent,
runs.
Dude. You got to respect that. That's pretty good. And actually, I'll save the last one for closing thoughts. You got anything else on this riveting sweep?
Yeah, I was hoping we could do a little game where we, in real time, go through out by out, pitch by pitch, what happened here. Do you want to do
that?
That
could be a bonus episode. We can do a bonus episode. All right.
I got like 4 hours. Let's go.
All right. That's going to be our next show. But for now, we are taking one final break on episode 66 of Inside the Monster. We are back for closing thoughts of episode 66 of Inside the Monster. I got a few to run through real quick, Joey.
Please do.
When are we going to be done with the gritty? I hate to be Mr. Wah-wah, but like on every NFL Sunday now, it's like, oh my God, so-and-so hit the gritty. Who cares? Like, I don't care. This thing's been around for 4 years, and we keep getting all yip-de-doo that it's
the
like,
gritty's been around for 4 years?
Three to four, yeah. I looked it up. No I think way. It was born in 2018. So Justin Jefferson did the gritty. Sick. He's done it like 80 times. Am I still? We need a new dance, man. We need a new celebration dance. Even love Aaron Judge. He's doing it. It's like, oh, Judge did the gritty. Mac Jones did the gritty. Oh, my God. Yeah, everyone does the gritty. It's who cares?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't care. Roger Maris Jr., you got to calm down, brother.
You sound like you're going to cry.
No, I just choke. You ever choke on air?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Roger Maris Jr.,
you
got to
stop,
man.
You got to stop. He's been standing outside my window.
You're
playing death metal
you're
all night.
You're my family, man. You got to stop. You got to stop, man.
I'm a family, dude.
I got a family. But, I mean, he keeps tweeting. It's like, dude, enough. We get it. We understand your stance. on the steroids and the clean record. It's just like every day it's something new with like, and I, as Aaron, we know what he's going for. We know he's going for 62. We get the Bonds, McGuire, Sosa stuff. Enough, dude. Enough. It's real. Genuinely, to me, it's taken away from the Judge thing. It's becoming like just as much a story on Twitter as Judge actually trying to hit 62. It's like, stop.
I was going to ask you, have you had a feeling over the last couple days they kind of don't want Judge to hit 62?
That Junior doesn't want it?
No. You, do you at all feel like you
don't want Judge? Oh, no, I still want him to do it. I'm just grasping for straws, so it's like, oh, he's not going to do it at home. I actually kind of like that because now it was basically like 35 plate appearances, I think, since he hit his 60th home run. The amount of wasted footage that Yankee fans have on their phones of strikeouts and walks, a hit by pitch, a flyout, LOL, dude. Love it.
I don't know. I kind of love the idea of him tying it with so much time left, or hitting 60 with so much time left. Taking forever to get 61 and then never getting 62.
So now that he's got 61, I just want him to break. Like, you know, like if he was still on 60, I'd be full on. Like, this would be kind of hilarious if he doesn't even tie the record. But now that, I mean, he's got four games. He's got four games to do it in Texas. And I mean, it's going to be a little weird. I don't know. Something about Texas isn't like incorporated into the parks yet. It's still so new that you're like, there's no history there at all, so for some kind of a record to be broken there feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean. I do like that the Yankees got some soggy Sunday. They're in their ponchos, and Judge didn't hit it. It's like, go home, you bums. And you're not going to win the World Series either, so there you go. Enjoy that. Lastly, Joey, I just want to thank the listeners a lot. I know we got three games left, but people have been super kind on the interwebs and at Fenway. Last few weeks, specifically, just, you know, showing their appreciation of the show we put on this year and, you know, still pushing through, even though this has been a really tough finish to the season. I know earlier in the year we were asking for your feedback, but definitely leave a review on iTunes, Spotify. 5 stars is wonderful, but really just want feedback on what you liked, maybe what you tweak. I'm always looking for feedback. I always want to hear what you guys want, what you have enjoyed, and you know, what you're hoping for next season. So that would be cool to hear from the folks. But Joe, you got closing thoughts?
Yeah, I don't want reviews. No more reviews. Don't leave them. No.
5 stars. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Shout out to you guys. You guys are the real MVPs. No, I went to a wedding this weekend. Shout out Jackson. Shout out Allie. God bless you both. May the good Lord bless you with a lifetime of happiness. Yep. Weddings are awesome, dude. Weddings are cool. Also, if you invite me to your wedding and the ceremony is longer than 25 minutes, I'm not going. Tell me straight up. Tell me up front. Because Jackson's wedding was like 15 minutes. And I was like, this is great. If I was a guest at this thing, I'd be stoked. No more hour-long weddings. No more two-hour-long weddings. Are you kidding me?
There's two-hour weddings? That's a thing?
I've been at two-hour weddings.
Oof, that's bad.
Knock that off. Well, usually if it's in a church, they're doing like a church thing too. They're doing like a service as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been to most of the weddings I've been to are the church ones.
Too long. Too long. No, none of that. Thank you. God bless you, but I'm not going. Let me know.
I'm not going.
I'll write a card.
I like the idea of you saying you're not going as if, like, on the invite it shows you how long the service is going to be.
Well, like, that's what I'm asking is, like, let me know ahead of time. Like, I'm going to call when I get your save the date, and I'm going to say, how long is this thing going to be? Huh?
Yeah, come on. Let me know.
How much do you need me for? But yeah, checked Vermont off of the map,
for the podcast map. ITM. Yeah. I like that you made the map. Let's keep that rolling.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll keep her going. But yeah, that's my whole closing thought. Went to a wedding. It was fun. Weddings are awesome. And I've got another one next weekend, dude.
Oh, jeez. This guy loves weddings. Mr. Wedding, Joey Capone.
Yeah, just not my own. I love marriage, just when I'm not a part of it.
There you go, bada bing. A zinger to yourself.
Boom, I got me.
I got me so good. That'll do it for episode 66. The next you will hear from Joey and I is our final series preview of the season. Probably talking a lot of bogey. That is next. And then we got one more series recap episode and then ITM awards, which I am very excited for. Nate gave me a little preview of what the graphics are going to look like, and they are nice. They are nice. If you win an ITM award, not only are you going to get an award, we are going to make trophies that we are giving to these folks, but you're also going to get to see yourself on a really cool graphic, and you'll love to see that. So, once again, series preview coming up next. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Perrault. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.